Who's got a number you'd like to start with? All right, Daniel. I'll give you a chance to say it nice and loud.
44.
Number 44. Somebody could start these. That'd be a real help to me and everybody else, I think. Has one you'd like to sing? Okay. Say it nice and loud for everybody.
45.
Thank you. All right. Praise to God, to God, to the college, to me. Somebody else. We'll sing as many as we can in these first few minutes. Okay, go ahead.
41.
Thank you.
Of God in heaven, will many children sing? Children whose sins are all forgiven will heavenly anthems bring, singing glory, glory. Brings them to that world of love, that heaven so bright and fair, where all is peace and joy and love, out come the children there singing, glory, glory, glory be to God on high. Because the Savior shed his blood to purge away their sin, now washed in that most precious blood, he calls them white and clean, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high.
Good. Another one. Okay, number one. Let's sing number one.
Persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go.
Good. You can choose anyone on here you'd like, so I'm glad that we could sing that one. That'll fit in a little bit with what we'll talk about later. So we have time for maybe two more now, and we'll see at the end of the meeting. All right?
22.
Thank you.
Be ready. Trim your lamps and be ready for the bridegroom's nigh. O sinner, ere it be too late, flee now to mercy's open gate and join Christ's waiting band. Trim your lamps and be ready. Trim your lamps and be ready. Trim your lamps and be ready for the bridegroom's nigh.
Good. One last one for now, and I'm not too likely we'll get to more later.
43.
Thank you. Number 43 will be our last one.
An only one, and yet its eyes are two. Inside and outside, on which side are you? One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, on which side are you?
Good. Let's talk to the Lord Jesus, ask for his help, ask that we'll all be able to hear what he has to say today. I'd like to talk about the verse that's in the Sunday school paper this morning, and I'll give you a chance to quote that one or another one you may have learned in just a moment. But let me say that verse first. Come unto me. Does anyone know it so well you'd be able to say it for everybody first? Or would it help if I said it first? You want to say it? Okay, you can say it first then.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28.
Good, thank you. Who else would like to? Okay, let me just go around the row. Anyone that would like to say that verse or another one you've learned?
Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28.
Thank you. Who else?
Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28.
Okay.
Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28.
Thank you.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28.
Very good. Say it anymore?
I don't know what it starts with.
Come unto me.
Come unto me.
All ye that labor. And are heavy laden. And I will give you rest.
And I will give you rest.
Matthew 11:28. Thank you. Anybody else down here want to say the verse? No? Okay.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28.
Good. Thank you. All right.
Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28.
Good. Thank you.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28.
Good, thank you. Anybody else over here I missed wants to say it? Okay.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28.
Good. Do either of you guys want to say it? No. Okay. All right. Now, we're going to talk about that verse, and if you have your Bible, and we've got time toward the end, we'll talk about another verse just past it. I think I could quote it, but I'm safest reading. So if you have your Bible, it doesn't hurt to turn and look at it. And I'll read to you Matthew 11:28, 29, and 30. Matthew 11:28, you all quoted, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's enjoy those verses together, but before we get to those last couple that I think are wonderful and enjoyable, I want to talk about that first one, which is also wonderful, but it's got a serious part to it. And I need a volunteer to help me out. It has to be somebody about middle-sized would work best, I think. Okay, if you want to come up, you can be my helper. And I've got some things here that I'll need to make use of. And all the rest of you are going to have to help us. And we've got a bunch of stuff in that bag. You can probably guess what it is. You carry that for me? You don't have to lift it up quite yet. You think you could put this on your back? Nothing in it. It's empty. Does it look bad? Pretty carryable. All right. You want to put that on? Little backpack. Just slide it on over your shoulder there. Slide on the other side. Perfect. Thank you. Is that heavy? No. And you know, you think you could run all the way up? Which floor were you on for your room? 6. You think you could run all the way up to the 6th floor with that on your back? No problem. Easily. Good. Thank you. I won't make you do it. But, you know, sometimes we have done something that doesn't seem too bad. It doesn't weigh very heavy on us. How many of you have ever told a real quick lie and nobody noticed, and your mom and dad weren't there, and you forgot about it a minute or two later? I must admit, my hand's up, not just to kind of encourage you on how to raise a hand. My hand's up because I've done that. It's wrong. To God, it's a big thing, but to us, it seems pretty small. And that's what I'd like to illustrate with this backpack. We're talking about some burdens in here, but maybe you did something else and a friend noticed it. This is a rock, and it's not too heavy. I don't think this will hurt your back at all. You can tell me if this gets a little too heavy for you. We'll put that in there. Do you even notice the weight of that one? Can you feel it? Nah, not at all. She's strong. It won't hurt her at all, will it? And sometimes that's what we feel. Maybe our mom and dad sometimes, I know I'm certainly guilty of it sometimes in my house, something gets said and it's not very respectful, but it's not outright defiant, and it kind of slides on by. Or maybe somebody gets asked. You get asked at home to do something by your mom or dad, and you always do it the first time they ask, right? You hear your mom or dad calling from the other room and call your name, and they say, "Come, give me a hand in the kitchen." And you always come running right away. You're playing with your friends. You're playing with your toys. You hear your mom or dad call, "Come," and, "Oh, that's mom or dad. I want to do what they have to say." And you come running, right? How many of you always do that? How many of you sometimes do that? How many of you, if you think hard, can remember once when you did that? All right. Hopefully all of you. But when you think about, oh, you know, just some other little thing, and this is the way it seems to us. They're all big things to God. I want to illustrate the other part, the way it seems to us. I remember something in our memory, something I remember happening with a child, that in that house, that child wasn't allowed to drink a lot of pop. How many of you like, maybe sometimes it's good to have, it's kind of a sugary drink maybe. Oh, but this house, they weren't allowed to have it very often. It was a pretty rare treat. But there was some in the pantry in this house, and the child in that house discovered it in the pantry. You know, it's kind of dark in most pantries. How many have a pantry at your house that's kind of dark? Well, some of you do. Lots of you do. And how many of you have a mom or a dad that spends a lot of time in there? Well, some maybe they run in and out, but hopefully they don't spend a lot of time in the pantry. Maybe they're in and out of it a lot. So this person, according to the story, discovered that there was some pop in there. And it was a big bottle. And it was full. And after the first time, or maybe the second or the third time they discovered it, it wasn't quite so full anymore. It was a little bit less full. What do you think was happening? You have a guess? What was happening? Whoever it was drinking some of that pop, and nobody noticed. Do you think that kind of, do you think they were aware of it? I think they were kind of aware of it. Can you feel that now? How many of you would be aware that sneaking something that your mom or dad doesn't like is not a good thing? In fact, it's what God calls, what's God call that? God calls it sin. And you kind of got it at the back of your mind. How many of you have done something, and it was kind of at the back of your mind, and you were hoping nobody would ever notice? Only children, apparently. All of us have done that. It's just not obvious. I'm asking anybody here, because I think everybody's done something like that, and you know it's wrong, but nobody noticed. Is that true? No. Are you noticing now, though? The weight on your back. You feel that a little bit? Well, once we've sinned and nobody caught us, and we sin again and nobody caught us, you know what? It gets a little easier the next time. And in this case, there was something else done that was, everybody would have recognized it to be a big deal. You see that? You're looking forward to carrying that for me? You think you can? Want to try? You tell me if it's too heavy and I'll take it out. But I guess that's the idea. This person did something and, it was pretty bad, and this time they got caught. This time they got caught. Is that heavy?
Kind of.
I'll try to make this next part go quick because there's more in the bag, you know. Okay. This time they got caught and it was kind of heavy. Are you ready for me to take that off your back? Yeah? Okay, I'll take it off your back. But I'll add a little bit more to the story here. This person got caught. Thank you very much. I'll put it on my back. And somebody else will have to help me out here in a minute. Thank you. Oh, you want to carry it? All right. We'll let you carry it. Thank you very much. That one got kind of heavy. I'm glad that got heavy quickly. You know, for some people, can you squeeze? There we go. All right. That's not so bad, huh? Which floor were you on?
Six.
Oh, good. So this person, they did something even worse. Didn't have anything to do with Pop. Mom and Dad didn't know anything about that Pop, but that's how it started. Little things that Mom and Dad didn't notice. Nobody knew. Nobody caught on. It was kind of strange. That thing had a leak and there wasn't any sticky stuff on the floor, but maybe it did get used. Maybe we just forgot. We never used the stuff. Maybe when we had some guests, it got used, they thought. And so it kept on shrinking. But other things came up, and then they got caught about this other big thing. And you know what? Do you think they were all ready to admit to their parents what they'd done? Do you think they were all ready? No. What did that person probably do? Not that you would know anything about it, but can you help me guess what that person might have done?
He lied.
Now, that person lied about it, not just once, but a bunch of times. And you know what? That kind of weighed on the conscience. You ready for one of these? You think so? All right. I know it'll fit in there without it being on the back. I'm not sure. Okay. Is that nice and comfortable? Ready to run up to the sixth floor for me? Come back and report how it feels? You're starting to feel the weight of that on your back? Yeah. You want to take it off? You don't care. Yeah, but you're leaning forward to help balance the weight, so I will help you balance it by taking it off. Let me take that weight off. Thank you. Thank you. You know what? I hope something this morning. If any of you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, even the littlest thing that seems like a little pebble and you can't even hardly feel it. Did you feel this backpack when I put it on your back? Just barely, not really. It's really pretty light. That's the nice thing about it. But that's what we think about sin. But I want you to remember that the Lord Jesus thinks about sin as a very serious thing. Something that he says, come unto who? Come unto me. And I will give you rest. Does it feel better to have that backpack off? Yeah. It feels better, doesn't it? That's a little bit heavy. We don't always like to admit it, but it's a little bit heavy. I want to tell you a story that I hope will illustrate this pretty well. I wasn't going to tell you this story. It wasn't in my mind. But when Mr. Jim Hyland was speaking last night, I thought, you know what? Maybe we should spend a little bit more time on this first verse. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. You ready? How many of you know what a mine is? How many of you know what a mine is? Can you tell me real quick, for the few that don't know, can you tell us what a mine is? Want to explain that? No. Anybody else want to explain it? All right, you explain to us what a mine is.
A mine is a place where they get stuff like coal and other minerals and valuable stones out of the ground.
Okay, great. Thank you. This was one of those. This was a coal mine in Illinois, and it was 200 feet under the ground. There was a great big vein of coal, a great big area where they could mine coal, and 300 more feet down, there was another even bigger one. And this happened 101 years ago this month. 101 years ago sounds like a long time, but there's mines today, and you know a lot of bad things can happen in those mines. So there were 200, anybody know how, 200 feet's a long way, right? How many of you were on the 11th floor? Anybody here on the 11th floor? Anybody ran all the way up the stairs to the 11th floor? Oh, good. I thought maybe some people would walk, but not run. 11 floors, I don't know exactly in this hotel. I think of a floor is about 10 feet. This first floor, if you notice when you did the stairs, it's a little taller. You can look at the ceiling, it's a little taller. But we'll say each one. Can you imagine going all the way up 12 floors in this hotel, right? How many more floors would we need to go up to be the height of that first part of the mine?
Eight
more. Good. Can you imagine going up 20 floors? I'll skip a lot of this, all the details in the story, so we can get to other parts. But I want you to think about this. Can you imagine being 20 floors under, 20 floors down? Would you like to go that far down into a hole in the ground? I don't like squeezed in spaces. Anybody else here that doesn't like squeezed in spaces? I don't like them. I don't like to look around and be hardly able to move. But this was 20 floors down into the ground. And you know what? They had big wood timbers over to keep the roof from caving in. And they had lots of electric lights and so on, but they weren't working. So they had some kerosene lamps down there temporarily. They had lots of nice engines, train engines at the top, upstairs. They had automobiles and so on. But they... down inside the mine, they had some mules. You know what a mule is, right? We'll pretend they're sort of like a horse. So they had mules, and they fed them hay. And one of those carts of hay got parked right underneath a kerosene lamp. And it was dripping. Drip, drip, drip. You know what kerosene is? Kind of like gas. Do you think it's a good thing to have gas dripping on hay in the middle of a little shaft of coal? Not a good idea. And it caught fire. And then the beams that supported the walls of that coal mine, they caught fire. And it was no big deal. Because they would get the fire out pretty quickly. And some mine workers were on their way out of the mine, and they just went up and they walked by, and oh, hopefully somebody puts that out soon. And others went by. But before long, that whole part of the mine was on fire. How would you like to be down in the mine that day? All those beams were hissing and cracking, and there was a pop as some of the beams gave way and some of the coal in the roof fell in. And there were miners now. Do you think they wanted to get out of the mine that day? They sure did. Has anybody here complained about having to walk up to your room? Anyone in the front rows? Kind of complained your mom or dad wanted to walk up and... okay, got a few. All right. There was a stairway all the way up to the top, and it was made out of wood. And that stairway went up 200 feet. Do you think there were any miners that complained about running up those stairs with the fire behind them in the mine? No. Not a single one complained. You know, Mr. Jim talked to us last night, and he was talking about a lot of things along the lines of salvation and fleeing from the wrath to come. They were running out of that mine. But somebody upstairs, they were really smart, they thought. They thought, oh, we'll get the smoke out of the mine to help people. So they turned on a great big fan, and it sucked all the smoke up out of the mine. You know what came up with the smoke? All the flames came right up and burned out that stairway. It was gone. And there were hundreds of people trapped down below there in the mine. So there were 13 men. And those 13 men said, we're not going to leave our fellow miners trapped in that mine. We're going to go get them. And so they did. They climbed on something they called a cage. How many of you, instead of the stairs, used an elevator? Ah, lots more hands on that one. All right? Lots of people use that elevator. And this one had bars in it, so they called it a cage, but it was an elevator. And there was somebody up at top with a lever, and he raised and lowered it. And those people went down into the mine. And already some of the miners, they went down the first time. There were a bunch of people ready to get on. They wanted to get out of there. And so they got on to that cage, and they started to go up to the top. And they came out to the top. They're gasping for breath, but they were safe. Those 13 people, they went down a second time into the mine. This time it was harder. This time they started to go, and it was like here. How many of you, probably some of you heard a hallway back in here. Every once in a while a squeaky cart goes squeak, squeak, squeak down the hallway there. And there were lots of hallways like that. So they would come down the elevator, and then they would go into a hallway, and they would call out if there was anybody there. And there might be somebody in one of the side passages in the mine where they were mining coal. And they were calling out something that Peter said. They were calling it out. Does anybody remember what Peter said when he got into trouble? Did he say help? Maybe it was a time when he did. But what I remember was him saying, Lord, go ahead, say it nice and loud. Save me. They were calling out, save me, if they could. And they could be heard. And these people would rush to them, and they'd pick them up, and they'd put them on their backs, and they'd get them to the cage. And the flames kept getting closer and closer. And they went down a third time, and a fourth time. And by the fifth time, you know what happened? Some of the wives, people had gathered, smoke was billowing up out of that mine into the sky, and people were gathering around from the whole little town, the whole town, and all they did was mine. Or help people that were miners. There was nothing else in the town of Cherry, Illinois. And they went there, and they said, their wives came along, and they grabbed some of those rescuers, and they said, don't go into that mine. They could see the smoke billowing out. The people that were coming out were now coming out burned. Alive, but burned. And they were holding on to the leg or holding on to the arm of their husband. And they said, don't go into that mine. And they broke three free, and they went in a fifth time, and they came out again. Did they think they got everybody? They didn't. So they went down a sixth time. Remember, I told you there were two levels to that mine. One was 500 feet down. They couldn't leave their friends 500 feet down, so they went into the mine again. And they went down. Down, down. But there was a law in Illinois. There's still, I don't know. I don't know if there still is or not. There was a law in Illinois that you could not, if you were down in a mine, the person operating that elevator, that cage, he could not bring up the people up from down below unless there was a signal from down below. Some cry, some signal, and the person that went down, the boss, his name was Alex Norberg, and he said, don't bring it up unless you hear two rings and then bring it up quickly. If you hear three rings on your bell, bring it up slowly. And then he had other signals for letting it down further. And they let it down into the mine a sixth time. That sixth time it went down into the mine, there was all kinds of jangling. And the person operating the elevator, he didn't know. Did they want it to go down? Did they want it to go up? Did they want it to go up slowly? He didn't know what to do. What would you do? I don't know what I would do. But as I thought about that, and I thought about all those flames in the mine and a signal coming out of it, I thought of this verse, and I want to read it to you. It's in the same chapter of Matthew, I'm sorry, same book of Matthew. If you'll turn over to Matthew, I thought of another flaming pit, and I thought of another signal coming from that pit, and I want to read it to you. You don't have to turn to it, but it's in Matthew chapter 27. Now, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Did he say, get me out of here? No, he didn't. Did he say, pull me up out of this pit? No, he didn't. What was going on at that time? I think you know. The Lord Jesus was suffering for sin from a holy God. You know, when I borrowed these rocks earlier, I did borrow them. I planned to return them. They're from the landscaping down by the lake over there. And when I borrowed them, I went and found a hotel employee and asked them if it was okay to borrow them for a while. There were two of them there. You know what they answered? They're both looking at me. They didn't look at each other. They both got a big grin on their face. They both did something at the same time, both of them. They both went like this. What do you think they were telling me? We didn't see it. And you know what? That's what people like to do. When there's something that, we'll just pretend it didn't happen. Is that what God did about sin? God didn't do that with sin. God took my sin and he put it on the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say that about yourself? Eventually people convinced this cager, he was called the elevator operator, to pull those men up. And I'll spare you the details. But one of them was just barely alive. You know what he said? He had four words. He had four words to say when he came up out of that pit. He said, the flames got us. And he died. He died right then and there. They had to lean forward and they could just barely hear him whisper it. Just barely hear him whisper, the flames got us. I want to read to you two words that the Lord Jesus said when he came up out of that pit. First of all, right here in our chapter, it says he cried again with a loud voice. Notice that. And then turn to John. John's Gospel, chapter 19. Three words in English anyway. Verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He said, it is finished. That means he took care of the judgment, totally took care of it. When I thought of the story, I thought of those words. That one man had to whisper, the flames got us. But the Lord Jesus could have shouted, I got the flames. He consumed the judgment that was against your sin. You know, you can go to Cherry, Illinois. We did 1 year ago on November 13th, the 100th anniversary of the event. And we stood in a graveyard, and there's 265 little white crosses representing the 265 miners that lost their lives in that mine. 13 of them are for the rescuers that were brought up and taken to that cemetery to bury. But you know, I thought about it in this verse. Come unto me, all ye that labor. There were 265 people that couldn't be saved in that mine. There are none that don't and can't be saved today. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. I want to show you one other thing. I said I didn't plan to tell that story yesterday, but I think maybe it was more important to talk about that part. I want to talk about, with 5-6 minutes left, something for those of you who know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And that's that other part of the verse, or that other part of the passage we read. I need two volunteers that are about the same height. Okay, I'll take you and somebody about your height. Okay, we'll take the two of you. I've hidden in this room. Which one of these looks like the thing that would give you rest? This? Or, whoops, get it out of here. This. Which one looks more restful? Yeah, I agree. If you're going to take a nap, I'd much rather have the blanket than the board. But we're going to illustrate how you get rest from something like a board. All right? Does that look the best I could do? And real quickly on a yoke, sorry. I'm not a craftsman. Didn't have a whole lot of time to do it either. Thank you. Would you put one hand on the board? I'm concerned after a little test about not strangling anybody. Be nice. Put one hand on the board. You want a hand? Okay, you guys have got 1 minute. I've hidden in this room 3 Super Balls and 3 balloons. You can have anything you can find. I'll give you more later. I'll be fair. But go ahead. You got 1 minute. to find any Super Balls or balloons you can find. Okay, there is a bag under there. You're going to find a whole lot more than three. We'll see about sharing later. Okay, you found the bag. Why don't you leave the bag there, and you've got another 40 seconds to find any that are hidden around the room. I didn't think of that as hidden, but it qualifies. Uh-oh. Well, they're hidden in the room. I won't tell you where. You got 20 more seconds. Okay, 10 more seconds. All right. 3 more seconds. Why don't you come on back to the front? Is that comfortable? Pardon? If you move it off your head. I tried to tie it really loose there for you. Thank you. You guys did a very good job. Is it easy to move in that thing? Not really? Not super easy? At one point over here, one person was trying to go one way, one was trying to go the other. That was a little uncomfortable, wasn't it? And the rest of the time, you guys did a very good job of working together. Now I'm going to show you something else. I'm going to put it on here. And after some discussion, my son volunteered to help me out with the other part. All right? So you put that on, lift you up. Okay. You hang on to it with your hand there. That's your job. All right. Now, I'm going to find the rest of them. Oh, there's one right in here. And I think there's one over here. There's one. Okay. There's one. There's a nice balloon right over here. Thank you. We'll get the balloon. And we'll come right around over to here. And I think right under the edge here, there's another one. There's a balloon right here on the edge. Well, I can't feel it at the moment. And we'll get one more. There it is. Up. And there's another one right here. And I think that'll do. Thank you. Set you down. Take it off your head first. All right. Oops. That's all right. With a little bit of imagination on that second part, you can see the second part of the verse, or the next verse. The Lord Jesus says, I'll have to flip back to it to get it accurately. Here's we finish. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. I'll re-emphasize something in verse 28. Verse 28, it says, come and I will give. There are 265 tombstones in that cemetery. But the Lord Jesus, it's as if he came right back up out of that pit, kept right on going to heaven. And he can call from heaven to you, and he says, I will give right now because he lives. But the next part says, take my yoke and learn. Now, I don't think we're going to summarize the first 11 chapters of Matthew's Gospel here at the end of a Sunday school for all of you children. But let's give just this one little piece. The Lord, how many of you have ever been rejected by somebody else? Or felt rejected at least? They didn't want to play with you. All right? Whatever it is. The Lord Jesus had been rejected. Do you sometimes feel kind of sad about that? Sometimes there's all kinds of stresses and difficulties, but you know what he always did? He always obeyed God his Father. He always obeyed God his Father. Always. And you know what? That was a very restful thing. How much work did Paul do when we were looking for the Super Balls? He hung onto the board, right? Did he have to run around? How much directing did he do? How much did he tell me where to go? Well, he actually noticed a couple things and pointed them out, didn't he? But who was going around deciding where we were going to go? I did, right? Who knew where everything was? I did, except I forgot the bag under the table. But I did know when we were going around to pick things up where everything was hidden. And you know what? If you just simply, and that's why it takes learning, because how simple it is, it takes a lot of learning. But when you learn to just do what the Lord Jesus wants you to do, then it's restful. The yoke is a lot more restful than the blanket.